Welcome, lords and ladies, as we hearken back to times of yore on the Nerdstrap. I really can't. This is a very realmy medieval edition of the Nerdstrapaganza podcast. I am your host, Tom. Joined, as always, by my esteemed hosts,
Brian,
Rick.
What's up, my lords? How are you tonight?
It's been a long week, and it's like only, what is it, Thursday, Friday? I don't know. It's been a long week.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, God.
we're off to a great start for the week then for you, Brian. I'm glad. I'm really excited. Never mind this week, though. This week will be history by next week, but for the moment, we need to talk about last week, meaning what we did last week as it pertains to nerdy, geeky weekly roundups. So why don't I throw it over to you, Brian, since you're so upbeat on this week, surely last week was better.
Last week was better. I had a very good last week. I was still coming down off my traveling high. I finished the book that I was reading, Ready Player One. Very excited about that. Actually, even though I purchased the hardcover, I did get all the way through it on my cell phone. That was a new experience for me.
Wow.
I downloaded at Rick's. I'm probably stealing his Weekly Geekly here. I downloaded the Smart Glass app. Very cool little thing. I'm looking forward to more of that. Got in some Star Wars role-playing, some Star Wars miniatures. Kind of dug that, whatever we're calling it. Very excited about this. My Relics Knight pledge manager finally went live. So I finally got to get exactly what I wanted. And they got more money out of me because they added something at the last 10 minutes.
Nice. I'm going to have to check my email out.
Yeah. Check your email. It's totally ready. And I'm thinking, feeling, trying to convince myself that now that I've done it, I'm going to get it that much sooner. Even though I know that's totally bullshit. It's nice to lie, basically. And I went to Camelot Days.
Did you slay a dragon?
You know, I thought there were a lot of kids there, and I kind of wanted to leave all the dragons up for them. I didn't think it was nice to be a camper, so.
Camelot Days being a local medieval Ren fest of sorcery and slaying of dragons and so on and so forth. I really just can't muster a medievally sounding voice, but cool,
and
man.
And paddle boats.
Awesome. Very, very timely geekly update, sir. Anything else before I hand the scepter over to Rick?
No. Rick may have the scepter.
Thank you, my lords. Thank you, your graces. I have been glued to my tablet with a little game called Angry Birds Star Wars Edition.
Yes.
I didn't really pay any attention to the original Angry Birds. Whatever. The Star Wars one? Holy shit, man. It's awesome. I can't stop playing it. The artwork is fucking phenomenal. Any of the little parody parts of it, hilarious. Sound effects are kick-ass, but more importantly, the level design is badass. It's just fun. I tried playing it on my phone right before the show. Sucked. I don't know why. The experience just is nothing the same as it is playing it on the tablet. Probably the giant screen versus the tiny screen.
Yeah, I'm sure you lose a lot.
And then other than that, I'm still plugging away at Ready Player One. Whopping chapter 11. Woo!
I still want to make a bad joke, but
you can only shit so much before you got to get up. Maybe this weekend I'll spend time eating a lot of grains and roughage and bang out the rest of the book. I don't know. But that's pretty much been about it. Actually, that's not true. I also had a sweet-ass Star Wars X-Wing miniatures core set game over the weekend, which lasted a world record 3 hours plus.
That was a lot of plus, too, by the way.
Yeah, we actually ended up getting stuff on the table around 3 and wrapped up at 6, so it was pretty much a good 3 hours. But, wow, for a game that's supposed to take maximum 45 minutes, to take 3 hours was pretty impressive. And it was action-packed throughout. I got to see Darth Vader get his ass shot down by
some guy.
By quote-unquote some guy in space. Squad leader, no name. And that was pretty embarrassing, but my Imperials got their asses handed to them, even with my mega killer kick-ass bully list. But that was expected. I went on the notion that the list was more impressive on paper than in reality, and I was correct. So,
in all fairness, that was a pretty impressive list.
I really think they just need to be played in mass quantities.
Yeah.
The core set kind of proves that. For those of you who don't know, the core set comes with one X-Wing and two TIE Fighters, and that's considered an even match. So when our game over the weekend, we went 3 against 4.
Yeah.
Darkseid had 4 ships. Probably should have had 8 to even make it a halfway fair or close match, but it was good nonetheless. I hung in there till the very last second. Yeah, just not Vader. He was the first one out of the box. Knocked him out the box, Luke! Knocked him out the box. That wraps me up for the week.
Cool, yeah. I've been doing a few things myself. I've been playing some video games. I've been playing the heck out of Epic Mickey for the Wii. That and Halo 4, but Halo 4 has taken a backseat to Epic Mickey. One, because I'm enjoying the heck out of that game, and two, because I really want to be done with that game by the time I get my Wii U Entertainment System and Epic Mickey 2, which I still haven't confirmed as a launch title, but I plan on getting soon either way. It's cool, man. The game's awesome. Like, the music, the presentation, everything. The gameplay, in some places, leaves a little to be desired, but I'm a big sucker for music and presentation, and I'm not probably one-tenth the Mouseketeer you are, Rick, but even I'm getting, like, you know, they're springing me with all these little, like, throwbacks to, like, Disney paraphernalia and movies and references and stuff like that. It's really, really cool.
Nice. It actually, that game almost prompted me to buy a Wii.
I understand, like, you've played the demo for part 2 and you didn't blow your skirt up, so I'm tempted to, once I get my Wii U, let you just borrow my Wii and the game so you can form an opinion. Because, like, I really think you ought to play it, especially if you're a Disney fan. It's just, it's cool, man. Yeah.
I still might pick one up and get that game. If I can get them both, I could probably pick them both up used for, like, $30. That'd be awesome.
You can get them. You could get the system and the game cheap by now.
$30! That's my limit.
Okay, 30's your... Or a certain number of e-tickets, I don't know.
Exactly.
yeah, so anyway, been playing the heck out of that. I am the last of us to get started on Ready Player One. I'm only on I only just completed Chapter 4. Probably going to follow your advice and change my dietary habits to increase my regularity so I can rocket through that book a little faster. Great book, so much so that I think it may have even inspired a topic for a future show. So we will follow up on that soon. If you are not familiar, listeners, you have got to give Ready Player One a try. It's great.
I have found myself listening to a lot of Rush lately.
Have you now?
Yes.
I don't get the reference. Is it a reference to the book that I haven't gotten to yet?
Apparently it is. Sorry, I thought it was an early reference.
And it talks about Devo in the book, too. Boom!
Very nice. Talks about Oingo Boingo as well, as a matter of fact.
Love that.
Another one of my faves.
The book is pretty much like 80s porn. Like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if all those things you thought would be cool were, you know, if they happen, here you go. Here's a book. Boom! And it works.
Exactly.
But, yeah, so read that. Apart from that, and some gaming. Also, I was with Brian when we experimented with Smart...
When we experimented.
Oh, did it? That's a heck of a time to have an internet.
What did static. Two nerds do down in their mother's basement when their dice break?
Experiment with a... No, smart glass. very cool. Played around with that. I think it's got a lot of potential. We didn't try the browser functionality, which, Rick, you were saying adds a lot, so...
I like it. I like it so far. I can't wait for Netflix to jump on board and have that dual screen functionality. It's going to be kick-ass, as well as games.
Yeah, I think it's. I think this might be a pretty sweet peripheral, I guess. I don't know. A pretty sweet addition to the suite of Xbox interaction modes, or whatever the heck I'm trying to say. So yeah, cool. I'm looking forward to that, seeing what SmartGlass has to offer in the future, too. I also attended the excellent medieval... / Renaissance / I'm not exactly sure what time period because I'm not a historian festival that was Camelot Days down here in South Florida where we live. It was a fantastic convention on a cool, breezy, overcast day, which was perfect for a Renfest. And I think we had a fun time. That has motivated tonight's topic, which is what makes the perfect Renaissance festival? What makes the perfect Renfest? What makes the perfect... trip back to the, I guess, post-Dark Ages Europe, right? Is that right, Brian?
Post-Dark Ages is a little broad, but yeah, probably.
Wasn't the Renaissance sort of the flowering of culture and, I mean, you know, the fall of the Dark Ages?
I thought you were poking fun at the openness of the theme. Oh, 1800s pirates and the Roman soldier that just kind of showed up.
I think I am, actually, because Renaissance implies... I always think of the Renaissance as a time of, like, you know, the reemergence of learning and society after the Dark Ages that followed the fall of Rome.
Yeah, like the rebirth of, like, art and culture and academia and all everything just blossoming into what we live with and use now.
Right. Right, and I'm not enough of a student of history to know whether or not they're sticking really. They call it Renfest, but I see what looks like some pretty Dark Age accoutrements around, which means that either my appraisal of the Dark or of the Renaissance is too rosy, or they are short selling the Renaissance. Like, shouldn't we see like invention springing up and stuff? I always wonder that when I go to these, but you know, I could probably nitpick them to death and take all the fun out of it, so let's not do that.
What I was going to ask, and it kind of follows up with what Tom was saying, what's the difference between the Renaissance period and quote-unquote medieval times? They have jousting and guys in suits and armor, but when I think of Renaissance, I'm thinking, you know, Da Vinci copters and shit. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've always been, like, thrown off by that.
Well, in fairness to Camelot Days specifically, we should say that this is called Camelot Days, and I don't think advertises itself as a Renfest. But yeah, the general term Renfest does not seem appropriate.
Right.
And I keep wanting to throw it over to Brian, because he just seems the most steeped in like lore and medieval knowledge for some reason.
I will quote the FLARF, which is the... Florida Renaissance Festival. You know, that's how the cool kids address it. I think their tagline is where history meets fantasy. So they kind of acknowledge that it's all just a whatever. I mean, it's kind of like going to a comic book convention and Vulcans and furries and cosplayers and everybody just living in harmony. It's a lot like that, actually. There's history there. But most of it's just people's cool history fetish.
So, I mean, it's you could, if you were to title it something, if you were to create your own Renaissance festival and you wanted to include everything from barbarians to medieval knights to, you know, Renaissance era inventions and tinkerers to, you know, pirates and things that came later. I mean, what would... If you could think of a name for such a festival, what would it be? Does one come to mind?
Comic-Con! Sorry, I had to do it.
I mean, I think like Realm Fest or something, because it's like, you know, these people all get along. It's all long hair and like speaking with outmoded accents, right?
Verily!
I mean, I don't know. Meeting of the Ages or something like that. You know, I don't, there's a lot of different names.
Maybe you have, that's why they shorten it to Renfest, because they just want to distance themselves from the Renaissance. I never really thought about that before.
Yeah, yeah. I just think, I don't know what else you could really call it besides, it's a Renfest. It definitely
springs. Fantasy Fest was taken.
I think Fantasy Fest is taken by like a very flamboyant like street party down in the Keys every year, isn't it? So that's out.
But the thing that all Renaissance fairs, at least all the ones that I've known about or heard about or whatever, or been to, which hasn't been many, but they all seem to have the common theme that makes them different from a quote unquote con is the fact that they're outside, right? That's one big thing that differentiates them.
You're right.
I think the filth kicked up by all the stomping boots, and usually there's at least one horse there. Mm-hmm. There's always the horse guided cart or something. That I don't think they let those indoors.
So its intention is actually to be what, like people that live in like King Arthur times? Is that what it is? Is that like
okay? To be really nerdy, I think King Arthur historically was before the Dark Ages, but.
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, he was like 5th century, I believe.
All right, so what about... I'm trying to go with king's names that I know here. Like,
Henry the
Henry
Fifth.
Henry the Eighth?
Yeah, Henry the Eighth would do, I think. A little civilized by then.
So it's like the people that live in the countryside... Because most of the time you don't see people that would actually be, like, in the king's court. It's more like peasanty people or warrior-type people.
I think those are the easy costumes to pull off. I admit I didn't even spend much time there myself this weekend, but the Paladin Society was there. They are practically historical recreationists. They're the ones with armor that would, deflect an arrow and swords that would split your skull. And it's kind of cool. They'll sit there and they'll tell you why the weapons were shaped like this, and they'll actually discuss how much they hate swords because people didn't really use swords all that much back then, but everyone thinks of a sword immediately. Oh, you're a knight, you have a sword. Oh. The swords were very limited. You could do this with an axe, you could do this with a hammer. That's probably commercially not all that exciting, but the authenticity is there. I think I've seen them at practically every fest I've been to.
So they're like the 501st of the medieval times?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Ye old 501st.
I was trying to get it out, but I couldn't stop laughing.
That's interesting, Brian. You're bringing up a troop of very faithful reproducers of the past, or preservers of the past. And... that gets me sort of into a topic I wanted to, well, sort of the meat of this topic. I think what would make the perfect, we'll just call it generically, Renfest for you? And I'm going to toss out just two ideas to start with. One is, what if you remember all the way, way, way back in the day, Brian, when the Renaissance Fest first kicked off down here in Florida, I guess what is now FLARF, they ever...
93 at Snyder Park.
Yeah, gosh, was it 93, 92, something like that? It was, yeah, really, really early 90s.
Jesus, they just outed us.
Yeah, gosh, I mean, there I was at 7 years old going to my first... No, I was not seven. But they sold it as, sort of an authentic recreation of a period... village, and with some exceptions, it was, and the people sort of stayed in character, and it was laid out like kind of a coherent, there was a coherent sort of layout to it. Like, this is a village, you're entering this portion of the village, that portion of the village. I don't remember them having like ye old conch fritter booth or something like that, set up. Like, they definitely had, obviously modern food with sanitation and stuff, but I just remember it bending towards the more pure experience, as it were.
And wasn't it a lot of, almost like if you were going to visit, or if you were going as, a visitor or a patron of the festival, you were almost like walking into an atmosphere that was there set up with players, and almost like the whole thing was like a big staged production.
Yes, you know? That's what I recall them going for, and that was the idea. Brian, do you concur? Is that sort of what they were going? Like, you were walking into a set, essentially.
Right. Like, you were walking on a live set, and these people were there. The shopkeeps were, you know, everybody was in character who didn't pay to get in.
Right. That's what I recall it.
Half who did.
Well, yeah, that's true. Actually, I think a number of our group were actually just fit right in, didn't they?
You forgot what I wore.
Did you wear mail or a robe or something?
A robe. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, that's right. Nick was the mail guy. Right. That's right. I do remember that, Brian. Wow. So, I mean, you do concur though that was the experience of that fest, right? The early Florida.
I think Camelot Days did a better job of that than Flarf might. I think Flarf has, I don't want to call it a negative thing, but I think they've found the drawbacks of being very successful. A lot of people don't really want that. They just kind of kill a weekend buying cool stuff that's not available throughout the year. So I think a lot of that got away from the bigger fest, and Camelot Days was a little bit smaller. It was actually pretty big this year. I was glad to see it grow.
Would you say that Camelot Days captured the early Flarf experience, though? Like, am I remembering Flarf correctly, or was it? Or am I just sort of idealizing it in my mind?
I would say you're remembering it correctly. It's only partially idealized. It was also a very, I think the day we went was a school outing, wasn't it?
It was. That was our first experience. We got to go on a field trip, which was
so
really
you had
great.
A very limited audience. And I think the only people that actually went on the trip were people interested in it. So you had a very, very limited audience.
That's true. And
none of the people who were just kind of like, what am I doing this weekend? Oh, there's something at TY Park. Which, again, isn't bad, but I think that's why you're seeing the step away from everybody in character.
Just trying to appeal to a broader base.
Well, yeah. the broader base being there, I think it's hard to maintain the outlook when you need, you know, security there, for instance. They have to be visible. They have to be non-realm. It's a necessity of being larger.
Yeah, I think you're right. So we've established then that the con can grow away from the purity, and I think I've gotten the point across that type one of what I would consider an awesome Renfest is one that is walking into that set, even the commercial viability of such a con be damned. The second type, for me, a second sort of spin on the Renfest that I might like to see is one where they go like fantasy. Like they ham up, like they actually make it a you know, Dungeons and Dragons sort of setting with like monsters and people dressed up in fantastic things and magic, and they ham up the mystical aspects of that we associate with that time period, but generally with a medieval slash Renaissance time, more medieval time period.
There is just one awesome old couple that I see almost. I didn't see them this weekend. I didn't even think about it, but they dress up as one costume where he's the front legs and she's the rear legs of a dragon, with those little fake legs of riders like over the sides.
Right.
It's actually really cool. I missed them. I forgot all about them.
Yeah, I think more of that, and you know, more fairy, you know, girls running around, and more people sort of dressed up in like, you know, sort of creature costumes or fantastic costumes, almost like kind of like the fantastic element you see at like an anime fest or something. You know what I mean? I don't know if there'd be a way to spin the Renfest or spin a festival that way, but I think that would be kind of a neat take on it.
It would be cool. It'd be more interesting to see that than, you know, the laced up shirt guy who's just blundering around being like a town rowdy or whatever. I
don't know. The Fleetwood Mac guy walking around.
Yes.
I know which guy you're talking about. First of all, I love the term town rowdy. Anyway, that's two sort of takes on the fest that I think might make for a kind of a perfect Renfest. And of course, I'm going to restate that cool, breezy, overcast weather is a must. So July in Florida, maybe not the best time and place to hold such a festival.
Never.
Do you guys have any sort of what would make a great fest ideas along those lines?
I am always jealous of the Rennies, I guess they're called, the people who are actually part of the show, that they get to stay. I want, $50 for the weekend and I can hang out.
Like in camp? Like you get to hang out?
Yeah, I want to hang out in camp. I want to have to kill my mutton and throw it over the spit.
Oh, that's cool.
Do they do a camping aspect?
They do, but you have to be kind of part of it. Like their whole, forgive the duplication, their whole camp moved in on Friday morning and they just stayed there all weekend.
That's badass.
That's badass. I'd love to be a part of that.
Actually, you were there, Brian, when I was speaking to my friends that were there, and I was like, is this a functional camp? And they were like, of course. I love it. They got super geeky. Like, you think we would have put such effort into tents if they weren't functional? I was like, yes.
I think that's what we were missing at this show, because it was kind of set away from the commercialism, but that was what we saw the first time we went, because you can go there and I mean, that dude had a hammer and an anvil and he was beating the shit out of metal. He was making something right while we were chatting with him.
Yeah, he does make things at the festival, that he ends up selling.
See, I've been to two or three of them wanting to see something like that and have never seen that.
Oh,
it's,
man.
It's kind of off the path, I think. That's the problem. Well, it's there, but, it just gets so overwhelmed with all of the, cool stuff to buy.
Yeah, in this case, they were, where the people were had their tents set up, their functional tents, as my friend so haughtily reminded me. They had the artisans were actually I think the leather worker and everybody were there, weren't they, Brian? I mean, they were.
Yeah, they had leather goods for sale. I didn't see him do anything right then, but I'm sure if we had hung around, he would come back around.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, interesting. So sort of a medieval camp. Like, you pay for the experience of living in the village for the weekend or something.
Or even just the option. You get bored in the middle of the night and decide you want television, fine, leave. But if you want to hang around, if you want to, actually see a minstrel or a bard telling stories to entertain a crowd in the middle of the night instead of, we're just all going to hop on our cell phones.
That would be cool if they were like, yeah, no, unless there's an emergency, no tablets and cell phones. I mean, we're really going to do this. That would be really cool, man.
That would be amazing.
Assuming that you could use modern privies, because the one thing I don't want to do is dig a ditch.
Dude, there was a huge lake right there.
That's true.
Turtles love eating poop.
just grab your book. Just wade into the lake.
I was gonna make a turtle head comment, but I'm not gonna follow up. funny. We experienced, I think, the closest we've ever come to that, Brian, a few flarfs ago, when they had you could buy into an option called the King's Feast. Remember, where you got to sit with the king and his body court, and you were regaled with the stories and jokes, and you got to drink mead, and they served you food. You had authentic wenches serving you food. Remember that? That was
I do remember that. I have very fond memories of the wenches serving me.
That was cool. That was cool, and I liked that experience. I think maybe more of a to use the off abused term immersive experience would be something I'd pay extra for even.
I just remembering back, I think it's terribly funny that you consider that dinner immersive, because we were sitting next to a Jedi couple.
That's true. That's true. And I don't really know if like the Sipho cup I was drinking out of was authentic, but the mead was good. So, hey, these are Dixie cups. This isn't.
No, but I know what you mean, Tom. Like the thing that I really like, the few times that I've been, I like the jousting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some are obviously I like the ones that are a little bit more realistic than the ones that are obviously, you know, just show.
I really liked the jousting they did this weekend.
Say that again, Brian.
Sorry to cut you off. I really liked the jousting they did this weekend. They did it like they actually hit, and they actually had like a little story to it and everything. And the only thing limiting it was a little smaller, so they didn't have like a lot of charging room. But Rick, you probably would have enjoyed it. They actually like hit each other. I missed that.
Yeah, the reason why I ended up not going is because I saw on the agenda that it was going to be, or the schedule, that it was going to be like 2 15-minute rounds, and it was just like, ugh, I have so much other stuff to do, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out for half an hour's worth of jousting. But if I'd known they were really bashing each other, then it might have changed my mind. But the point that I was going to make was, it the two times that I've seen it live, one time they had the king and his court, you know, like up on the other side of the spectator stands, almost like you were watching from the peasant side.
Yeah.
Right.
And so one time they had that and another time they didn't. And for some reason, even though the jousting was better on the time they didn't have the king in his court, just that immersiveness of seeing that over there, it was like, holy shit, this is kind of cool, man.
You should have done the King's Feast with us, man. We actually sat on the king's side that time.
Yeah.
He was like, no, we're done with dinner. Let's go jousting. We all tramped over there together.
We're royal.
We're a pain in the ass. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on the more immersive, and which is weird coming from me because I generally don't like this whole realm of realm anyway. So, but there are immersive things that I don't like. Like, I don't like the comedy guys. Like, I don't want somebody making fun of me. I'm way too sensitive.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Don't drag me into your... Don't make me the butt of your joke, but entertain me with jokes. Yeah.
They are carnival barkers. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. That's just something... Like, that... Just that kept me away for a very long time. I was like, I'm not going because I don't want no fucking asswipe talking to me like that. I'm so weird like that. Like, you know, I'll get on stage in front of thousands of people, no big deal. But, you know... Get me in front of 10 people or 5 people, and I'm like, I'm ready to die. It's so strange.
I think it's the fact that you can be drawn into the act, and you're not – it's not on your terms at all, you know?
Yeah, I guess. It's just weird. So that was always one of the things that I didn't really like, and for the longest time, that's what I heard people, oh, it was so great. This guy was making fun of this guy. And then, of course, there was always the animal stuff there, like the birds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Love that. That was awesome.
The falconry.
Yes, the falcon. That shit is so cool, man. I can't get enough of it.
Actually, we're in agreement on that. That's one of my favorite things to watch every year.
Every year, my absolute favorite part is the black powder demonstration.
Because everybody flinches.
I love watching. They always start off small. They fire, like, you know, a 2-inch cannon or something like that. And everybody's like, oh, that's not so loud. I don't know. Where. And then they fire, like, the 18-incher. And people run screaming.
Yeah, I enjoy all the armament stuff, too. And especially the big trebuchets when they fire. And
I've never seen that.
The trebuchets.
Sorry, the trebuchets. Yeah, when they fired the trebuchet, Rick, you should. Oh, you got to make it a point of going to see it. It's really cool.
I was thrilled, even though I was too cheap to do it. I was thrilled that you could actually fire your own trebuchet this year.
Yeah, they had a thing for $5. You got to fling your own rock from it. Like, you got to pull like the cord and fire it, which I thought was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, how big was it?
This one was moderately. I mean, this wasn't as big as like the big sucker we've seen before, right, Brian?
As they are so fond of pointing out, they're not supposed to be portable. You're supposed to build it on site, destroy the living shit out of a castle, and then leave it.
Right.
So yeah, they had a little tiny portable version.
But that group has a larger one that they do roll out, right? A much larger one. I think from where we were, if they had flung too far, they would have probably hit a commuter on the highway. So
didn't they say the weight was 200 pounds?
Something like that, yeah.
I think so. So that gives you some scale if you're into...
Meaning it can shoot... Meaning it can shoot up to 200 pounds?
No, meaning the counterweight is 200 pounds. Oh, so it actually fires like I think it was an 8-pound stone cannon ball looking thing.
Yeah.
Couple hundred feet.
Awesome.
And then what they do is they add more weight if they want to fire it further or if they want to fire a larger load.
Load. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Rick, do you have, apart from the things we sort of touched on, do you have any ideas as to what would make like a perfect realm fest for you?
No, I mean, I could just point out the stuff that I like is, you know, the jousting I like. I like to see the king's court stuff. I like the falconry stuff. But really, more than anything, I think I really like the musical troops that go around.
Oh, they just go around like randomly entertaining people and stuff?
Yeah, I just think that's badass. You know, when they're playing authentic instruments, authentic songs and stuff like that. That I really enjoyed that the first time that I saw it.
I was very lucky a couple of years ago to see, I'm sure Rick knows this gentleman, Cast in Bronze.
Is that the thing with all the bells?
Yeah.
On that big, like, crazy-looking contraption?
It's basically a player piano, but it's the size of, like, an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, dude, that thing.
And a huge, like, a giant church bell rings.
Yes.
I saw that in person. It was amazing.
I gotta say, I'm not exactly sure it fits into the purest model of a Renfest, but that is cool. That is really cool.
At least there was no dueling Tesla coils or anything.
Completely off in left field, yeah. You know, one idea I could think of. So I don't know if it would work at a sort of larger... I'm pretty sure it would not work at a larger festival just based on the like people I was surrounded with in the stands last year for the joust at Flarf. But if you could somehow invest people in, like, the champions, like, you know, basically they come out now for the joust. You're like, oh, okay, you people vote for Sir Reginald, and you people vote for Sir, you know, Sam, and you guys are, like, you know, these are your champions. Oh, yay, okay. If there was some way, like, when you came in, you could declare for a champion, one or the other, and then, like, you'd win some token or, you know, you had something riding on the win. I think the crowds would go nuts for their champion, you know what I mean, to win.
Definitely.
And they imagine should do, character appearances, like have like five guys dressed up like Sir Reginald and then have him, you know, meet Sir Reginald here and get to know him before the event. And
he'll
if he's
give
a
you
jerk a... to you, you root for the other guy.
Yeah, or he gives you a quest to do for him or something, you know what I mean? Like just, yeah, and have maybe a handful of knights and... Make sort of the jousting, and I'm sure logistically it's difficult, but like an all-day affair, and oh, our knight's in the list at this time, we have to go see him. Oh, he was a jerk. He told me I was a overgrown wench, you know. I want him to lose. But yeah, that I like more interaction with the audience, I think. Not of the unwelcome kind Rick dreads, but of a kind of people would welcome. That'd be kind of cool. But I can't see, like, you know, tribal tattoo, sleeveless shirt wearing, like, bro who goes to a larger fest just because, yo, it's something to do this weekend, really getting too into that.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, it's fine to see. It's weird. Like, you do see a lot of people who are there just because it's something to do. They're there for the beer, like that's it.
Yes, yes.
It could be a Renfest. It could be a Holocaust. Fucking, it doesn't matter. It's like they're just there to be at a place where other people are gathering and they can drink beer outside and be obnoxious.
You know, Rick, I hate to say it, but you nailed it so perfectly. They buy like the huge, like tall, like cylindrical kind of, you know,
the beer horn.
Well, it's like a plastic, like, fluorescent...
The plastic beer horn.
I drank a Dragon of Mead, yo! A Dragon of Mead!
Yeah, except it has, like... It has Bud Light written on the side of it, and it's neon. But they buy the one you can, like, refill for cheap or free, too. So, yeah, their goal is to be, like, a obnoxious drunk. And they succeed wildly. I knew we'd sort of crossed the line last year when I actually almost witnessed a fight between two people, and I didn't want either of them to win. Like, oh, wow, I hope both these guys get beat up. This gets back to a discussion we've had in the past, like, get out of my scene, dude. You've got, like, a million places you could be. Why do you have to be here? But I'm sure the proprietors of the Renfest love that they're there spending money, you know? So
now, the spending money's good part. It is the good part, but the general disinterest and obnoxiousness, the idiots walking around, they're the same idiots that are walking around like, why are all these chicks fat with their tits hanging out? Like, it's... Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And they've got like a smirk on, or you hear them on their cell phone, yeah, I'm at this Renaissance thing, yeah. They're like, they're saying it like the whole thing's tongue in cheek to them.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, this thing's so stupid, man. It's just something to do this weekend.
Right. So really that's the point. Them being there ironically or because there's nothing else to do, and it really just boils down to I'm going to be a dickhead and try to ruin everybody else's day because I'm at a place that I don't like and don't really care about, but I had nothing better to do, so I'm here.
Right. I read that it, you know, I saw that there was something to do in the paper or whatever, and like here I am.
I think we dealt enough with your kind in high school, asswipe. Leave us alone.
The only exception being, it's a jerk couple that look totally disinterested, but they're with their little daughter who dresses as a princess, or a little son who's like a knight, and those kids are just blissing out over it.
And that is absolutely fine, man.
Yeah, I give them a pass. I give them a big time pass. But still don't be a jerk. Cool. Well, I'm glad we've asserted our scene ownership over these things. So
and it's not an elitist. It's maybe protective more than anything else.
Well, you know, I don't go to a Green Bay Packers game and sit there with my arms folded like pissy the whole time. Like, football, I don't like sports. I just don't go.
Right.
See, the difference is I just don't go. I don't show up because that's not what I'm into. And when people do invite me to a sporting event, I just make the most of it. I'm not there to piss all over it.
Right.
But for some reason, if you have what's a niche interest, people feel like at liberty to just openly demonstrate their disdain and their dislike of it. Yeah, jerks. Jerks, they should be drawn and quartered. There are numerous medieval punishments that could be employed. Brian, drawing and quartering comes immediately to mind, but you must, again, with your knowledge of realm punishment techniques, you must know what would be more suitable.
Put them in the Iron Maiden.
There you have it. That's our punishment for anybody who goes to a Renfest and doesn't enjoy it or craps on it.
I'm gonna throw a pirate one out there. They'll be bound and keel hauled.
Ooh, keel hauling.
That's piratey, right?
It very much so. And I think the catch with heel hauling is if you survive, like, that was your punishment. Like, oh, wow, you made it, dude. Nice going. But I don't think anybody... I mean, did you really survive being dragged along the length of the hull?
I don't see how it would be possible.
Me neither. Like, if they were really fast and you could really hold your breath, maybe. But I just don't see it happening. Keel hauled. That's cool. All right, one more. We should have... There could be a dedicated pirate fest. But you'd almost have to do it on the water for it to be worth a crap.
I don't know.
No?
No, if you picture like where they do the Renfest here, well, I don't know what it's called. I think it's the one you guys are calling Flarf, the one that's at Quiet Waters Park.
Yeah.
You know, there's a giant lake there and campgrounds and stuff like that. So you could do it at a place like that and you just get like some of those like buccaneer boats in the lake. Even mock ones would be cool. And then you just do up the town like a holdover pirate shanty type place would be cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat. Now that you mention it. Interesting. Pirate Fest. This might be something we cynically exploit for our own fun and profit.
I'm surprised there isn't one already because it seems to me that, especially with the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and stuff like that, the popularity of that, it seems like it's more in the public eye. The pirate thing is more in the public eye than the Renaissance-y stuff, which is why I think you see a lot of pirate dress-up people and whatever at the RenFest.
There's an entire weekend devoted to pirates at Flarf.
See, so we're not off then.
That's true. They do themed weekends, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Sort of. I mean, I'd rather see a pirate at the RenFest than a Jedi.
Me too, now that you mention it.
Or a Pikachu, or an L, or, you know, any anime, anything, really. So
a Gundam. Hey, what are you doing here?
Pirate-themed Gundam.
I forgot about the themed weekend, so that's a neat idea. I'm a fan of the Celtic one, because I'm always hoping to find, like, pale, red-headed Celtic girls running around. And I usually just find their male counterparts who are distinctively less appealing. Substantially less
appealing,
with
shorter skirts on.
Yeah, exactly. Do you fancy me? No, I don't fancy you at all. Please lower your skirt. Oh.
Put your red sack away from me, you creep.
Red. I'm Ian the Red Sack. Okay, that's great. Nobody wants to know.
I'm Eric the Freckle Bag.
I'm Cullen Coin Purse. Okay, no more. No more. but yeah, so themed weekends. We're going to have to pay closer attention this year, Brian, and only go on the weekends whose theme we strongly endorse.
And also what was it called? Winches and Bosoms and Winches. I endorsed that weekend.
Do you get a lot year. Of? Did you notice a lot of balloon shelf happening though at that during that weekend? Okay,
that is half the fun. I mean, come on.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of balloon shelf, honestly. I mean, pudding bowl, as it's also known, where basically the girls, a corset, right? Rick's familiar with this. It squeezes, you know, you get typically a larger girl who puts on a corset that's too small, right? So it goes from like just kind of accentuating her curves to like really exaggerating things. Making it look like she has a much larger belly than she has, and then basically consigning her breasts to like rest on these like hyper supportive shelves so that they look like two balloons sitting on a shelf. Like blah, 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 blah. I don't like that. I'm not a fan, Brian. I don't know.
That's right, though.
You're a balloon shelf aficionado.
I've never heard that term before, but apparently I am.
I'm not saying all women. Like, some women pull, like, do they get the corset and everything just right? Like, oh, that's great. That's it. Or am I thinking of a bodice or a corset, or are they interchangeable, Brian?
They are not interchangeable. Bodices are, I think, smaller than corsets. Don't cover as much.
Okay. Well, whichever variant it is that they're wearing, like, some women wear one that's their size, essentially, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say. It all comes down to getting the right size.
Right, because
you know what's funny is Kimberly, my girlfriend, points that shit out anytime we're at a con or any place that people are going to be dressed up thematically. She is the first one to point it out. Like,
I think like you know, the women, oh, this corset will like make me a, you know, several sizes smaller. No. The whole point is to accentuate you at your size, not to reduce your size, which is impossible.
Right, and I mean, you can see some extremely large figures being put into those, and when they're put into the right size, I mean, dude, it makes a world of difference, and there's some awesomeness going on there.
Right.
But you get it wrong, and it's a fucking train wreck.
Yeah, it looks like you're like just squeezing like a handful of something, and it's gushing out either end, man. It's just not flattering. Just not flattering. Nobody's there for the balloon shelf, and you know.
It's like strangling a loaf of bread.
An unbaked loaf of bread at that.
Right.
So, probably highly offensive pro tip from me, and I don't claim to speak for the entire Ganza cast here. you know, wear a corset of appropriate size. Balloon shelf is not what you're going for. An accentuation of your natural curves, that's the goal. That's the goal. And gentlemen, wear a long
skirt. No
corsets
for you.
No corsets for you. I'll allow the raccoon tail thing that you insist on wearing. I'm okay with a kilt of respectable length. But let's not show too much leg, please. Those are my fashion tips. And speaking of which, Brian, what's with the tails? What is that all about?
You know, no clue. Not a clue in hell. Sorry. I always thought that was a nod to freedom.
Me too. I never quite got where that fit in. Oh, well. I'll just start wearing one around and see what kind of scene tries to, like, recruit me. Hey, we're doing a we're doing a thing, you know, for us, for we people who wear the tails. I'll just follow them to their after-hours event and see what goes on.
It harkens back to my college days. Sis boom ba!
Exactly. All right, I think we've laid out some ideas for ideal Ren Fest, as well as you know, given our strongly felt opinions on optimal fashion. With that, I think we are going to launch into a new segment we're introducing this episode. We do our weekly roundup, and a lot of times we come up with things that we're pretty passionate about. And we don't really have time to just rant about them, you know, just go for it, man, to just do a 60-second sort of geek out, which is exactly what we're calling this segment, Sans, the sort of the 60-second geek out. It's all spontaneous. There's no planning. So without further ado, Rick, 60-second geek out, go.
Mini iPad.
Damn you!
Thoughts? Hit me.
It's mini. It's small, and I'm not sure where it fits in the tech pantheon.
I don't get it. Our cell phones are getting bigger. Our pads are getting smaller. It doesn't make sense to me at all.
I hate everything Apple. We know this, but I am on board with this one.
Nice! They've converted Rick.
They haven't converted me, but I will say, I feel like most of the people that use an iPad don't need to use an iPad, and I think that them getting an iPad mini is a step in the right direction, and them getting a Kindle or a Nook.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Well, perfect. Perfect 60-second geek out, sir. actually, really perfect. Your black turtleneck from Apple is on its way. Brian, next.
There's a huge difference between a corset and a bodice, and the very point of wearing a corset is to make yourself smaller. Damn it!
Right, but
that's all I got. Sorry.
I mean,
that was kind of eating me up.
No, I appreciate your passion, but like, there's making yourself smaller and making you into someone else who is smaller. One of those is possible; the other one is not. Is unnatural. I'm just gonna say that in response. I guess that brings it back to me then. I am just going to state it again because I can't seem to state it enough. Epic Mickey, Epic Mickey, Epic Mickey for the Nintendo Wii. It's a great game, and I'm looking forward to its sequel. You guys have any opinions on the game or its sequel?
I was unimpressed. I didn't really love it. It was all right. I didn't hate it, but I'm not getting your enthusiasm.
What if I put it in a bodice and or corset? Would you like it then?
Epic Mini.
It would become Epic Mini.
Epic Mini.
Rick, I can tell by the passion in your voice that you're with Brian.
I played the demo, didn't love it, didn't hate it. I'm going to give it another round and see what happens.
Oh, that's of Epic Mickey 2, right?
Yes.
Okay, I am hoping to if I've got to order you guys corsets, and you've already got a corset, Rick, I'll just order you one, Brian, and I'll get you guys on board. That's it, man. That's my current 60-second passion. And with our passions thusly expressed in 60-second bursts, we conclude this week's show. On our way out, let me remind you that you can subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us an infinite number of stars, and write us some comments. Write us a favorable review would be our preference. You can even do it in Old English if you prefer.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can head over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, leave us comments, or send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And be sure to join us on our Facebook group. That's Facebook.com/group/nerdstravaganza.
And we'll see you next Tuesday. Peace!
I do believe you meant to say Tuesday next, sir.
You know, I was really trying to work my new back fat fetish in there.